The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Guys, welcome back. Freedom 106.5 FM. Carrie V is here and all the new who are with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. Listen, Fire Officer Jude Rogers, y'all long ain't see in this uniform. Y'all long ain't see her. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Safety Mondays, we are here. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I feel like I ain't see you in a long time. I feel like I ain't see you in a long time. But I see you today.
It's been a while. And it's good to be back. And for all of our listeners, you know, it's really, really good to be back. And I'm not the only one back. Today is the beginning of the new school term.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
So it's interesting that we coincide with that. And we've had some, you know, pretty good news in the media where we see a lot of schools have been improved.
Yeah.
And the improvement, which is much needed. And so I thought it best that this afternoon we have a discussion about, you know, the whole aspect of fire safety in our schools.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the safety of our students,
and
especially
teachers.
On their way to and from school. So, you know, this afternoon I'd like to kick off the discussion by talking a little bit about persons being responsible and understanding that when we traverse near schools, we have a responsibility to observe the traffic signs that pertain to schools. So, you know, there are some precautions in terms of you'll see signage as a driver.
Yeah.
But be mindful that not just the road that is directly in front of the school, but, you know, students have to traverse and get probably to the playgrounds or get to their transport, which may be around the corner.
Yeah.
And we as drivers, I'm asking you to look out for the little ones, the younger ones, even sometimes the ones that may be spilling out into the roadway. That's a serious issue that we need to focus on, especially in a time when we are having a number of accidents taking place throughout the country and persons are losing their lives as well. So it's a good caution to give.
Yeah.
So that we remember school has been open, people. School has been reopened. We're going to have a little bit more traffic on the road, a little more vehicles on the road.
Much more.
So pay attention, look out for the stopping vehicles, maxi taxis on the bus route. I know of maxi taxis. I remember an accident that occurred when a maxi taxi driver stopped, and he would have stopped, and the students were trying to cross.
Wow.
You know, but it takes the other drivers as well being aware, situationally aware, and providing that opportunity for other students to cross as well.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful. Go ahead.
I want to add to what you're saying there, Fire Officer Jude, because you see these zebra crossings, and this happened, this happened on Saturday. I came into Port of Spain. I came to work Saturday morning, Saturday before school opened, so you know tongue was tongue in, right?
Bustle.
A lot of people were around. So I saw a woman and her two children crossing, looking to cross the zebra crossing there. Now, I saw them, so I started to slow down, and then I said, well, wait now, Carrie. When I looked to my left, you know, a car coming speeding straight on. I had to beep my horn so the woman would not cross with her children. You know that? And when I beeped the horn, the lady pulled back herself and her children, and the man just gone swing and go anyway.
And that is the level of awareness that we're talking about. That needs to be had, because a zebra crossing has to be respected, or a pedestrian crossing signage on the ground has to be respected, and some level of caution has to be observed when approaching those. Similarly, persons recognizing that amber lights, so those flashing lights that you have near the school, means that you need to actually
slow down
and proceed with caution. And that is a serious issue that we want to address. So that's one of the points that we want to make this afternoon. And also, as we progress into the discussion this afternoon, we would recognize that in the fact that schools, some schools would be repaired, some schools will still be in a process of repair, we have to also be mindful when we send our children to school, the teachers, students, even the auxiliary staff must be aware of the hazards that may exist in a school. If there's work still going on, that area should be cordoned off, and no student, no teacher, no one except persons who are conducting works should have access to those areas. Because I'm almost certain that there's still going to be some remedial works that may still be going on in some of these schools, and the zone may not be safe. So we have to be very careful where that is concerned.
Correct.
I also want to reiterate, all schools within the quarter should at least, especially with the intake of new students, should be identifying for students what is the evacuation procedure, meaning the drills have to be conducted at least once per quarter so that students, staff, auxiliary staff, support staff, non-teaching staff are aware of what we do and what are the steps to be taken in the event of an emergency. Yes.
I have a few questions with regards to these fire drills at schools. First question, how can I as a parent ensure that fire drills are actually happening in the schools? So let's say, for instance, like my daughter, she went into Form 1, and can I go and ask the principal or probably the principal, you know, when was the last time you had a fire drill? Can I do that?
Yes, you're entitled to ask as a concerned parent, and of course there would be a representing body on behalf of your of all parents, such as the
Parent Teachers Association.
And you can also approach the school supervisor. They're school supervisor. So you can go to the ministry.
Right.
There's a school supervisor for each zone and each district.
What is this?
There are safety officers.
And at some schools, there are safety officers.
And they are charged with the responsibility of ensuring that drills are conducted at schools.
Understood. So, and you said these fire drills are supposed to be done more or less once every quarter?
Yeah, quarterly basis.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially at the new quarter, because that's when you'll have an intake of new students, and they need to be brought up to standard or be made aware of what the emergency procedures are for that school.
Nice.
All right.
And we could check the school supervisor if we as a parent, you know, someone is concerned about that and they want to find out when was the last time a fire drill was held. We could go to the school supervisor and have a chat
with
them.
School supervisors, school safety officers, and of course the principals, the persons governing each of those schools.
Nice.
All right. What I want to add to is that the fire service plays a role in the evacuation drills and the evacuation procedures, because the fire service are charged with also the responsibility of educating and also bringing awareness of this very important activity. And so what you would find happening is that many of these schools would reach out to the fire service, or even the fire service may reach out to the schools in their district and would ask about the drills and seek to set a date to conduct these type of activities within the schools.
Nice.
All right, so we understand the importance. And what we do, we allow them to follow the procedures. We may observe the drill and then give some response as to how successful the drill would have been.
But
because a lot of the schools, we have already done work with most of the schools in our districts. Huh? So it's now to reinstate some of the activities that we would have done, or to bring them up to speed, and then to just make sure that they continue with the program from time to time.
Right. Can a student be a fire warden?
Yes, in certain schools, depending on the age of the child, more so secondary, more so tertiary, you find that the prefects in particular classes can be designated as, you know, a warden in the class. But ultimately, the teachers who are responsible for each of their form classes or each of their standard, they are the designated wardens. But they can enlist the support of senior students who are responsible and can take on some level of stewardship over some of the children in their area.
Right, all right. Yeah? Because I really so they wanted act that
as,
clear.
Yeah, they act as a center of influence to ensure that their fellow students comply with the teachers.
Because I was thinking that. I was thinking about the influence part, because, I mean, I know how some children are when it comes to teachers and grown-ups, but they were quick to listen to their peer, you know?
Yes.
So let's talk about the fire drills. Let's get more into that. So it's supposed to have the fire drill. What what are some of the most common, should I say mistakes? I don't know if that's a word to say it. But what are the most common mistakes that children make when it comes to fire drills? I know one is that they don't take it serious. I know that for sure. What are some other common ones?
All right, so when it comes to fire drills, first and foremost, it is important that you first instruct and give information. You must provide guidance to the students and teachers first, and then we will do what may be considered a tabletop exercise, where we just run through the tenets of the drill. Mainly, these drills are done to ensure that persons understand their role and their function. What some of the common mistakes that persons would make, they would go in the wrong direction. One of the key things is, if you are already out of a particular classroom and the bell drops for that emergency drill, you're not to go back to your classroom to get your bag or things like that. All right? So persons would have an understanding that they are to go to their nearest muster point. All right? And most of the schools would have designated muster points. Most of them would be in the savannah or areas that are away from the school building. All right? And so they would want to proceed there and then assemble to be in a position for the roll call to be conducted. And the roll call is one of the most critical points of your evacuation procedure, because within that, this is where we can now account for every single person who is in the compound.
That makes sense. Right? I have some questions, two questions.
So go ahead.
Let's talk about the signage. For, let's say, arrows pointing a particular direction for you to run in, schools, to walk briskly.
Yeah.
Are schools supposed to have that type of signage, and how can that help students?
Okay, so definitely what we would advise in certain instances would be to have arrows, green arrows that point in the direction of your nearest exits, and also some schools would have exit signs.
Right.
But as you know, there are a number of schools that may not have that large capacity. Some schools may have larger capacity than others. Mm-hmm. So the larger the capacity, the more complex the structure, the more aids are needed in form of arrows on the floor, or exit signs and arrows pointing in the direction. So if let's take a three-story building in a senior comprehensive school. So you're going to have two stairwells, one on either end of that three-story complex.
Mm-hmm.
So when a student comes out from any particular classroom, if you're on the classroom closest to one end, you would ensure that that end is not the end that is involved in the emergency. You can safely turn to that particular end and you exit there. You don't have to go all the way to the other end unless that exit is blocked.
Yes.
So it makes it very easy, and it offers the student and the persons evacuating two means of egress. So you can either go to your left or to your right.
Yeah.
You must be offered at least two routes to be able to get to your muster point.
Right?
That makes sense?
Yes,
because
that makes
sense. One is locked, you have an alternative which you can utilize safely.
Nice.
Yeah?
And how can students identify muster points? I know they could read it, but what color should they look out for?
Okay, so there are two schools of thought where this is concerned, Karivi.
Mm-hmm.
There is, if your compound is secured, and let me explain this, and this has to do with counterterrorism and the whole issue of terrorism. The training that we would have received would tell us, if the compound is open and accessible to all, we would not identify specifically where the muster point is. But the teachers, the wardens, everyone will know where it is. So when movement takes place, you would know. But let's say somebody who would have called a bomb threat knows where your muster point is. They can easily put an improvised device in your muster point area because they know you're coming there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If the compound is secured,
right,
and you have control of the compound, you can place a muster point sign at the point where you would want persons to assemble.
Right.
And we that muster point sign should be a green on a white background. I know they invert the letter in front of time. Sometimes it's white on a green
with
background.
A green, yes.
The key thing is to have it legible and large enough so that the persons on that compound could identify where they are going to.
Mm.
So understand the point of, that I'm making. If your compound is secured, it is very difficult for someone to put an improvised device at your muster point because you have control over the compound.
Mm-hmm.
When you do not have full control over the compound because it may not have a perimeter fence line, you may not have all of that level of security, you need not indicate where your muster point is.
Right.
But the teachers and the principal and all of those involved in caretaking for the kids would be able to identify and direct them in that particular location.
Right, understood. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, look, if in an enclosed area, look out for the muster point sign. It's with white writing and green background. Sometimes it can be vice versa.
Okay, vice versa.
So one common mistake is going in the wrong way. Boys, girls, don't go the wrong way now, please. Just don't go the wrong way.
We need to be all going in the right direction.
In the correct direction. Nice.
And one of the key things that helps with that, sometimes schools may have a PA system, and they will make the necessary announcements. So one of the reasons for having the drills is so that we can put arrangements in place where we can give announcements, where we can have a specific song that is distinct and designated only for emergencies.
Yeah.
So you will not be hearing Karivi, the same bell that is rung to alert of a class ending. They may have a different sound, or they may have a specific amount of chimes. So in some cases, we know some schools do not have a distinct song, but what they may do, they may say three long rings of the bell is designated for an emergency.
Yeah.
And I also want you to know that it's only by practicing, and that's why we have the drills.
Mm-hmm.
When students practice, when teachers and students practice, and we get the right messaging going on, persons follow the right procedure, this is where we have some level of proficiency and is done in an efficient and timely manner. Because most of these drills, if they're not done in a specific time, you're going to fail the drill.
Yeah.
Because really and truly, you don't want to, if there's an alarm, after 3 minutes, you really don't want persons remaining in that building. They must be exited from that building.
Correct.
At least out of the building and on their way to the muster point.
Mm.
We may not all make it there within 3 minutes, but by all means necessary, we should try to evacuate within that 3 minute period without running.
Yeah. Now, I know my daughter is listening and she is going to be very embarrassed, but I think I'm going to go into the school and find out, like, what's going on with this fire drill? I want to know what it is. Let me say good afternoon to my daughter.
It's a good point to raise. It's a good point to raise whenever there's a PTA meeting.
Yeah.
Something you can raise with the teachers, you know, and they would oblige because they know the responsibility that they have.
Yeah.
I can tell you in our district, in each district, you'll find that the principals would reach out to the fire service in their area and they will ask for assistance.
For assistance,
and
right.
And I want you to know, and I want all listeners to know, parents, teachers, principals, even students, that the fire service is, that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
We're
here
to serve in that manner. And so our presence makes a big difference in the schools. And I know there are a number of schools that look out for us men, or, you know, at least quarterly, even if not quarterly, at least annually, for us to come in and at least work with them towards ensuring that they are prepared for disaster and emergencies.
Nice. Now, one more question again. The muster point. How far is the muster point? Is it on the compound itself or is it outside of the compound?
That's a very good question, Carrie.
Yeah.
That's a very good question. And depending on the threat involved, there are some schools that have larger compounds. There's some that has little or no space.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find happening, depending on the type of risk, if it's a fire, you'd want to go upwind, and listen to my terminology, upwind meaning where the hot air or gases that may have arise as a result of a fire, smoke, does not blow down onto the students. Because you can imagine students trying to breathe and the air is very toxic. So wherever the evacuation muster point is identified, it will be a location that is more than likely upwind of the school, so that and sometimes that may lead you out of the school.
Oh, right.
The list of the times.
Okay.
Some schools are large enough, the senior comprehensives and so forth, and they have very large grounds where you can muster within the school compound and still be away from the danger and even have an emergency exit other than the main exit that you can evacuate students in the event that you have to move them further away.
So
all of this is done by conducting risk assessments before. I'm glad that you raised that point. So the key is, together with the school supervisor, the school safety officer, we may identify with the principal what may be the best location for your muster point. And the routes that you would need to take to get there.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm talking about routes because that was my next, I want that to be our next topic. You know, in every classroom and building that you have, I know these students, even teachers, you know, supposed to familiarize themselves with the area that they're at. Types of advice, talk to them.
Right. So in terms of the route, persons should be made aware, each teacher should, when they are doing their evacuation procedure, have a discussion with their class and let them know what is the pathway that they will be taking. Most of the time, students are asked to walk in single file and they're asked to have some level of discipline in terms of talking, because if you have to give an instruction as a teacher, you would want to ensure that your students are listening in. So when an evacuation is going on, that is not the time for you to have a discussion with your friend and talk about everything. You should be paying attention to your teacher, who is your designated warden, and following, listening out for their instructions. So your evacuation route is normally going to be a safe route that has been already designated that you can traverse. That designated route may lead you out of the school, but it will always lead you along a pathway that is safe to traverse. It's not going to lead you into a drain. It's not going to lead you. If you have to cross the road, measures must be put in place. Your school crossing guard or someone with a stop sign would be designated. So part of the evacuation procedure may be to identify someone to allow students to cross the road so they can safely do so. All right? Students have to be very careful as to how they walk on the pavement, because, you know, some pavements may have crack coverings, they may have holes. You must pay attention. So this is not the time to be laughing and joking.
And playing, like, if it's a joke.
Definitely not on our phone. That is not, that's a no-no during an evacuation procedure. Take it very seriously, because you never know when a real emergency will
occur. Going to happen. Thank you so much, your fire officer, Jude. Guys, it's just about 5:33. And if you're not joining us, good afternoon and welcome. This is Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And today, the fire officer Jude, is giving advice for teachers and students and even staff. Yeah, you too. With the beginning of the new school term, and we are talking about like fire drills and how important it is. And students, there's no joking matter. Yeah, I know all electric kicks around for everything, but you see a fire drill, you got to pay attention, try not to get lost, try not to go the other direction. Listen, all right? Another thing, Fire Officer Jude, I know you have a lot of advice for the parents, the teachers, and the students. So we talked about paying attention to fire drills. We talked about, you know, knowing your escape routes. What else? What other type of advice do you have for the children and the teachers alike?
Okay, so definitely, children are not too young to identify hazards within their environment. For instance, Kyrie, if we have a situation where a student observes a fire just or beginning, something may be happening, let's say, in the kitchen or let's say the cafeteria or any of those areas. Not only that, if there is an electrical spark or electrical wiring which seems to have been the cause of a buildup of heat, we may observe these things from time to time as we traverse the school. It is the onus of the student to bring this to the attention of a teacher,
principal,
or someone, an adult, who is in a position of responsibility. We should not observe hazards or observe anomalies and not tell someone. So this is where it becomes very important for us to be careful as to how we go about making observations. And I'm saying there's a mechanism for doing it. please report these things to your teachers. Mm-hmm. And the earlier you do so, the faster we can respond to you.
Give us some examples of these anomalies that they would see in the classroom or even by the cafeteria. Now, I can name one because I've been on Safety Mondays for a very long time, so I've learned a lot of things. The plug. Once you're seeing the plug where you plug in your charger or anything like that, and you see it's dark around it, that is something that you need to raise the attention of an adult or the teacher. Am I correct, Fire Officer Jude?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Also, Carrie, one of the things that I would ask persons to be aware of is the buildup of material, what we call combustible material, in any particular zone. So sometimes we may want to store things within our schools. We may want to store material. But definitely, a lot of paper, a lot of stacking of paper, stacking of wood. Even when you stack chairs, you have to put that in a particular way so that it doesn't cause a hazard in the long run. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We will not be blocking our exits. So, for instance, if you have to move things like classroom boards, if you have to move desks and chairs, they will never be placed against a doorway that will allow you to get out.
Well, they're not supposed to.
Right.
They're not supposed to.
So, those are some of the hazards. Yeah. And so, some of the things that we look for, definitely the electrical hazards. If you see any sort of flickering of lights and you realize that the lights in that particular area, it's not lighting properly, that may be indicative of a ballast or something within the electrical that is needs to be repaired. Mm-hmm. So just bring it to their attention, and they would then be charged with the responsibility of responding to that.
Yeah.
All right. So things, any movement that causes, or any sort of activity which causes a blockage of the exit route, the doors to exit, those are things that you bring. Those are non-negotiables. Mm. All right?
And what about these, sometimes some classrooms and some schools have like this burglar-proof gate. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes it will be locked.
Right. So once a classroom is occupied, the burglar-proofing has to be unlocked.
Mm.
And both of them. So most classrooms have two doorways. The larger classrooms will have two doorways. The smaller ones will have one.
Yeah.
Those doorways must remain unlocked. Now, I know places like labs and computer areas, those areas will normally have burglar proofing. And, you know, you'd want to restrict movement in and out of those areas, probably even a library where you have to control books and the movement of books.
Mm-hmm.
But the custodian of that room is responsible for ensuring that the doors are unlocked, and only when it has been vacated, then you can lock those doors.
Correct.
And ensure that nobody's in those rooms.
Right, I gotcha. All right, Fire Officer Jude, we've got to take a really quick break.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back, guys. Freedom 106.5 FM, Carrie V is here. This is Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. Help me welcome him back. Welcome back, Fire
Thank
Officer
you.
Jude. And of course,
very, very
give
much.
Us the calls, 625-2257 or 627-3223. Let me read this WhatsApp message here for you. Somebody said, good afternoon to you, Carrie V, and good afternoon to the fire officer. Do fire officers do drills at hospitals? I don't know. Do they, Fire Officer Jude?
Yeah, we do collaborate with the hospital. The difference, though, with the hospital is that we would not actually evacuate persons out of the hospitals.
Mm.
What we would do, depending on the type of emergency, we would go through with staff what the role and functions are.
Mm.
And we do partial evacuations, meaning we may move from one floor to the next, or we may move from one end to the next, but never, ever, because of the seriousness of a hospital and the vital services that are provided.
Hmm.
And again, it all depends on the escalation of that particular emergency.
Right.
But we have specific ways in which we evacuate hospitals.
Oh, because I mean, that person just piqued my interest there. Because I was don't think I ever heard or seen any emergency like that at a hospital, you know. And like, you know, let's say, for instance, if we have a fire in the hospital somewhere, let's see.
Yes.
Like, how do you all take that amount of persons from that location to our next? And how does it go? Is it stressful? Like, that kind of thing? No. It just piqued my interest. So
we have to understand that those buildings are built differently because we know the importance of those particular activities that take place there. So you would find that the building itself would be equipped with active suppression systems, meaning that one would not have to necessarily activate an extinguisher. You may have sprinkler systems, you may have hose reel systems, and you would have persons who are also trained. And most of these hospitals have safety officers and persons who are reviewing these systems from time to time. If an evacuation does have to take place, it would know they have evacuation plans, which will then have to kick in. So you really would not want to enact one of those unless it's absolutely necessary.
I didn't even know that.
Just take, for instance, if it is that electrical power were to be to stop, or let's say something would cause electricity to stop, and you have vital machines that have that are depending on electricity, there is a backup generator that should kick in for those types of scenarios. But if the unforeseen were to take place, we would have to move persons from one position and take them to another zone where they can still connect back onto vital
electricity. Yes, I think you stuck there a bit. You stuck there a bit.
These facilities are very complex, and the way we evacuate is also to be take into consideration those types of emergencies.
Right, right. Just now you kind of you stuck there a bit.
Tell me, you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now, but it's going in and out. Yeah, let me hear you. Oh, okay. Well, it's stuck there a bit. All right. Yes, I'm here.
So you missed part of what I was saying.
Yes, yeah. All we heard was that it's
so we're back
only
with you, right? You're back with you now.
It's only absolutely necessary to effect those evacuation plans once it's really necessary. And if the electricity is out of the area for a time being, the backup generator will kick in. If not, they will have to take the persons from one location to the next. That was the last part that we heard.
Understood, right? So again, vital essential services such as hospitals have specific evacuation plans, and sometimes it involves just the partial evacuation of a particular floor or a particular zone until we can address the particular issue.
Nice. Right? Well, thanks so much for answering that person question. Of course, guys, get into the conversation really quickly. 627-3223 or 625-2257. This is Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays right here. So we are talking about the schools. We are talking about, this is the first day of school, and a lot of students are now getting into new schools and teachers as well. So we had some advice for them. So let's recap just quickly. Fire drills. Boys and girls, only take this thing seriously.
Yes.
Listen to the teacher, listen to the wardens, right? And ensure that you're paying attention. That is it. Paying attention. That's the next thing. What is another piece of advice do you have for them? What about keeping the hallways clear?
Person should... Exactly. So your hallways are normally cleared. Most schools will not occupy their hallway with any obstruction.
Yeah.
And most of the hallways in schools are very wide so that they can accommodate multiple lanes at any given point in time. Mm. You'll notice that on schools, they will not be storing cupboards, desks, anything will be in your trousers, in your pathway.
Yeah.
Those will be in the classrooms, and you can simply walk out of the classroom single file and form your lines and follow your teachers to your muster point. So it's important that you follow the instructions and you remain calm. I can't stress how important it is to remain calm.
Yeah, you will have to say that again or 100 times. Remain calm.
And to do so in an orderly manner, but you're still going to walk brisk. It's not a laissez faire walk. You need to get there quickly. Like I said, you have about 3 minutes to get out of that building and get to your muster point. All right? So sometimes persons are on upper floors. You say, well, how am I going to get from the third floor all the way down to the muster point? The important thing is to get out of the building within that space of time.
Brisk walk, eh? No.
And you can only do that by paying attention and responding when you hear the alarm.
Yeah. So, no, I don't want to scare the children on them. I don't want to scare them, eh? But sometimes you just have to tell them what is real. What are some of the things that can happen if they don't listen, if they don't... heed to the safety regulations in the schools? Talk to the kids and them fire officer Jude.
So definitely what we don't want students to do is, if you are, let's say, to go hide in a toilet or hide in a classroom and stuff like that, make yourself known and available, because the fallout of that is possibility you can, the ultimate thing is you can lose your life.
Mm.
And that's the ultimate. You can be injured, because if there's an earthquake or stuff like that, you or emergencies like that, students are supposed to follow a particular task, which is to get under your desk, make yourself very small, get under your desk and stay under the desk, which is a solid desk, may wooden or maybe metal, and that would break any, let's say, falling objects that can fall on you. And as soon as the shaking has stopped, you follow the instructions.
What's this?
Thereafter. Mm. All right? So there are reasons why we give these instructions. You do not go back for bags. You do not go in the opposite direction to the flow of persons leaving. If everybody is going to the muster point, you should not be going back into the areas. The adults, the classroom by shouting and calling out to make sure everyone is on their way out, and they will do the sweep and clear each of the classroom, including the washroom, toilets, and those areas.
Mm.
So it's important that you, as a student, your main job is to follow the instructions of your teachers.
Yes.
That's your main job. That's teachers, they know their role and their responsibility. They will know where the extinguishers are. They will know how to utilize the extinguisher in the event of an emergency, and they will take the necessary action where deemed necessary.
Yes.
Right?
One job.
Get to the muster point.
One job.
Right. One job. Get to the muster point. That's not your license to speak or to talk. That's your license to listen, so that your name can be called and you can be accounted for.
Mm.
And we know that with the roll call, it is important that the principal gets a number of students that have arrived at the muster point, which they use the rolls that they would have taken in the morning period
able
to determine how many. And they take rolls in the afternoon period too, Caribbean. Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to follow up with the rolls, because students may have left with the supervision of parents. Students could have gone on field trips. We need to know the exact number of students that are at the school at that particular time. And the only way to do that is to check your morning roll or your evening roll.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah. That makes sense. All right. Thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude. Let's open back the phone lines really quickly. We have about 2 more minutes again before we close off today's edition of the Safety Mondays. 625-2257 or 627-3223. Those are my lines. Give me a call. I saw someone trying to contact us on WhatsApp, but we don't take WhatsApp calls. So send me a voice note and I will definitely play it for Fire Officer Jude Rogers for him to answer. All right. I know you mentioned about earthquakes. Quickly. Look, we're getting a phone call. Let's take this phone call. Let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, Fire Officer Jude. I just want to say a pleasant good evening here, Fast Track here.
Hey, Fast Track.
Yeah, man, Fast Track.
To give us the tips on fire. You know, we just take fire for granted until actually what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, you know, that is how it is. I mean, some years ago, I suffered a loss of our apartment due to I don't care with the current in the place, so I didn't really pay attention to it, and I lost some stuff, and some people who were next to lost more stuff than me.
Mm.
So very understand that, you know. I can remember that I was grinding and had some gas open, and the spark from the grinder catch the little container of gas, you know.
Wow.
Look how easy possible could happen.
Mm.
So again, we thank you for your tips, and you know, may we continue to be conscious, because fire is a real thing.
Yeah.
And nothing to pick up after fire, that is it.
Hmm.
Listen, man.
That's it. He's correct. He's very correct. Thank you, Fast Track. Caribbean, over the years, we've had to respond to fires in school, some schools, some primary schools, some secondary schools, some schools have been actually, because of the unrest within the schools, personal cause. You know, issues.
Yeah.
Right. You hear me now?
Yes, I'm hearing you now.
Right. So what we would want persons to be aware that the fire alarm within your school is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because these alarms detect the smoke, they detect, and when those would trigger the response. And what you want is a very early response.
Yeah.
So critical areas would be your labs. Critical areas would be like your school cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the areas that you'll want to have your alarms working very well.
Yes.
Yeah?
All right. So, Fire Officer Jude, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us those tips. I know definitely they're going to listen and they're going to adhere to it.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.